The holidays might be over. 4th of July is past for this summer, but the fireworks aren't finished, not on Capitol Hill anyway. As Congress returns to work until its August break, it faces a packed docket, including how to pass a National Defense Authorization Act the president has promised to veto. Lauren Duggan is the director of legislative analysis at Bloomberg Government. He joins me now with a preview of what else this congressional session will face. Lauren, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. So let's start with the National Defense Authorization Act. A second veto warning was issued by the White House, I think, yesterday. And so what is the status of this bill, and what's the status of what happens after it passes the House and Senate?
Well, I think what's happened right now is the House and the Senate are sending negotiators into a room to negotiate a final deal on this bill. And it's important to remember that this is the bill that sets policy for the Pentagon, for the Energy Department's national defense programs. It doesn't actually spend any money. But the reason behind the veto, a big reason behind it, is money. And it's this continuing fight over the course of this year about how to fund the government, whether to adhere to the caps that were in the Budget Control Act, and whether to use the war funding, also known as overseas contingency operations, or OCO, to fund some of the base items in the defense budget. And this is a battle that started back at the beginning of the year, almost as soon as the budget hit the desk, the president's budget hit Congress desk, that is. And it'll be interesting to see whether they can resolve this before the August break. Now, what I'd say is the House and the Senate are fairly close together on this, especially among Republicans. But I think the real battle is, once they get a final bill, what happens with the White House?
Yeah, so the White House says it'll veto, and without an authorization bill, then does that make whatever they do on appropriations, if they do anything before September 30th, moot?
In a sense, I think that this could be the first battle here. If the president does get a bill on his desk that would spend more in the OCO fund, he could veto it, send it back to Congress, and they could prove that they don't have the votes to overwrite the president's veto on that. Then I think you really do have to have some negotiations on what to do with appropriations, because if the president's not going to accept this OCO strategy that the Republicans have offered to date, then they're going to have to come up with a different way to fund the government and make sure that the DOD has the money that everyone seems to agree it needs. They just don't agree on the way to provide it.
Because Nancy Pelosi over in the House was saying, well, you know, we could be seeing a shutdown now. Is that just scare talk, or are people starting to realize that could actually be a possibility?
Well, I think we're definitely seeing a step up in the rhetoric around that. Whether it will actually happen, I think remains to be seen. It's always a useful strategy to say, well, if you go down this road, we'll have a shutdown. And the other side can say the same thing. If you go down the path you're going, we'll have a shutdown. We still have until September 30th to come to some sort of resolution, and there's always a continuing resolution to give them more time. So I think it's a bit premature to predict a shutdown, but I certainly have heard the rhetoric, and you do see that stepping up.
Well, lovely. I guess, well, you know, the problem is, the more when you talk about it, it tends to kind of fulfill itself, you know, like the gun on the wall in the first act is going to be fired in the third act. But I guess we'll have to see on that. There's a lot of other appropriation work they've got to do. I think today they're looking at marking up the USDA appropriations. Is the farm bill again going to be a hang up as it has been in years past?
I think some of the farm bill programs will be under debate. There's always an opportunity to relook at the programs when you're doing the annual funding bill, even though the farm bill is a long-term five-year bill most of the time. There's always a chance to make adjustments, perhaps find some savings in farm bill programs, and that could be something that the appropriators will be looking at. And there's always the perennial issues about food labeling, the nutrition programs. Even the First Lady's nutrition initiatives have come under fire in the agriculture bills in the past. So each one of these 12 bills that funds a chunk of the government offers an opportunity for, particularly now, Republicans to take issue with some of the administration's policies. Even if these provisions that are attached to bills or added on the floor don't make it in the final product, it is a chance to sort of lay down markers about where they want to take the country and take these individual departments.
Well, maybe they could go to one of the local school districts and bring in 535 school lunches, and that'll settle that question in a hurry.
It may.
And also the transportation bill, of course, is the other biggie. And there was even talk, I understand, of attaching the whole NDAA to the DOT bill.
And that would be an interesting strategy. This is the one must do before they leave at the end of July or beginning of August, whenever they finally walk out the door. Highway and transit programs are only authorized through July 31st. That's a two-month extension that they passed in May before they left for Memorial Day. And if they don't do something by then the DOT, parts of the DOT, would have to shut down because they wouldn't have the money flowing to them to run some of the programs. And that would also cut off the flow of money to the states. What's tough is that that Congress has been passing a series of short-term extensions of this program, and Democrats in particular right now are calling for a long-term bill or nothing. Now, I think that, like the shutdown talk, could be a position that we'll see how that goes, but I think there needs to be movement on some sort of long-term bill in the next month for Democrats to allow a short-term extension to go forward. The big issue there is how to fund the program. Even to fund the highway programs through the end of the fiscal year on September 30th, they need to find some money because the Highway Trust Fund, which finances most of these programs, is not going to have enough cash to continue operating the programs. So there's this one battle on highways. How do we find the money to keep it going, either short-term or long-term? And then there's this separate issue about what hitches a ride. You mentioned the NDAA as a possibility. Other people are looking at the Export-Import Bank, which is an agency whose charter expired at the end of June, but many Democrats and some Republicans want to see it renewed and extended for several years. Republicans, particularly in the House, are starting to oppose this program on a greater level, and it's had problems getting traction and staying authorized. So it'll be interesting to see if they can attach that, maybe NDAA or whatever else may need to move by the end of July, onto that highway bill and try to force a vote before they leave.
That's kind of like dragging an Airstream with a motorcycle, I guess, if you do it that way. And
right.
So in the past years, the hang-up over DOT has affected the Federal Aviation Administration. Is that still the case this year, or that finally got reauthorized?
Well, that's another issue that's before Congress and one that hasn't really gained much traction yet. The FAA's authorization only runs through September 30th as well. Now, it's kind of a different circumstance between the way that FAA operates versus other agencies. There are some tax provisions that need to be in place, but the FAA probably wouldn't shut down absent an authorization, but there could be some operational issues if their authorization wasn't in place. They couldn't collect the ticket taxes they used to fund air traffic control, for example. That one could be extended as part of a CR if we got to that stage. But those two issues are separate, but like everything else, related in some way, if for no other reason that floor time in the House and the Senate can be pretty precious to deal with these big issues. And if you have to deal with multiple bills between now and the end of July, particularly in the Senate, you get kind of this backlog on the majority leader's desk of all the things he has to do. And that's going to be a challenge, I think, on many of these issues.
And so also, in relation to the FAA, what I wanted to ask was a couple of bills, mostly in the House, I think, talk about plans to privatize the FAA. Do you see those going anywhere this session?
Well, Bill Schuster, who's the chairman of the House Transportation Committee, has talked openly about wanting to pursue that path. I think if you're going to have that important and significant a change to the way the air traffic control system operates, that's not going to be resolved probably in a month or two or 3 months. I think that pushes the debate on FAA into a much longer time period. If you were kind of do a more routine authorization where we just kind of carry the agency forward the way it operates with some changes, that would be easier. If we are going to have this kind of rethink, then I think it will take more time. But it's certainly an open question about what the approach should be to the FAA going forward. And the House and the Senate need to kind of have that discussion and debate and argue it on the two floors, I would argue.
And getting back to one detail in the NDAA, I think the House version has a 1.3% pay raise for military members, and the Senate version has a 2.3%. That's one of the sticking points that actually Bloomberg had highlighted. And so how do you expect that to come out, on the higher number or the lower number?
I think that remains to be seen. There's the old adage, you split the difference. Could we wind up with a 1.7 or something like that? I'm not sure how that's going to pan out. It's an authorization. They would have to find the money later to help fund that as well. But I think that is going to, as you say, be a sticking point in the negotiations. If they do err toward the higher side, if there's one thing that people do support, it's funding and paying the troops. I think that's one area where there's not really a lot of disagreement. You may hear rhetoric around that right now. In fact, Republicans are saying that by Democrats holding up the defense appropriations bill, that they're preventing troops from getting a pay raise. But I think in the end, they'll coalesce around something that will get money out to the troops.
And, of course, the Supreme Court has had a lot of effect recently on legislation and proposed legislation and changes to legislation. But I wanted to ask about the EPA, because that's a bill that, I mean, that's an agency that is in a lot of contention in Congress. And the Supreme Court sort of handed it a defeat for something it wanted to do. It's not a total, you can't do it, but they basically said they can't do what they want to do on carbon. And so what do you think that might do to legislative debates over authorizing and funding EPA in the coming year?
Well, the EPA has been a favorite target for Republicans for many years now, and particularly with its power plant regulations and its Waters of the U.S. rule, which is actually a co-rule with the Army Corps of Engineers. But if you're a Republican, you try to hold up an example of too much regulation, that seems to be one of the most popular targets, the EPA. And there have been legislative efforts over the years to either curtail, roll back, prevent the use of funds to implement many of these EPA rules. And I think those debates will continue. President Obama, of course, still can veto any of those bills. And I think he would do so on especially a targeted bill, if it said the EPA must rewrite this rule, I think he'd have a hard time. Now, the question is, if we do get to the appropriations endgame and the interior EPA appropriations bill is within an omnibus or something like that, are there riders that will get through to curtail some EPA activities that the president would be forced to sign because absent signing that bill, he'd tank funding for the entire government? And I think that's the calculus that's going to be going on. Many of these bills, again, I think are a release valve for members to vote against the EPA and rail against it on the floor of the House or the Senate. I don't think any of those will probably wind up in the law books between now and the end of the year, though.
All right. So just to summarize, between now and they are in session through July, and then they're out for August, correct?
Yes. I think the Senate may be in a little bit into August, but they're most of August, the Hill will be shut down.
And so what do you expect for between now and August?
I think the highway fight is the one that's going to take most of the oxygen out of the room. There will be other fights about California water and education and things like that. But the highway bill is the must-do. That's where the trains and the cabooses are going to get attached. So I think that's the real debate people should be watching for.
All right. Lauren Duggan is Director of Legislative Analysis at Bloomberg. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.